But I want to talk to you about being rich and ask the question, is it wrong to be rich? Here's a great quote. Do you know who Alexander Hamilton is?
Yes.
Okay. And he's on what denomination of bill?
Ten.
The $10 bill. And he was one of the founding fathers of our country. He said, money isn't everything, but it certainly keeps you in touch with your children. Just let that sink in. Probably say that several times today. Let that sink in. You head for Luke 12, and I'm going to read you a little story, tell you a little story. This story just resonated with me so much, and I think it'll resonate with you. And then we're going to look at a lot of scripture together, as I said. This story is called The King's Highway. While you're turning to Luke 12, once upon a time, a king had a great highway built for the people who lived in his kingdom. After it was completed, but before it was opened to the public, the king decided to have a contest. He invited as many of his subjects as desired to participate. The challenge was to see who could travel the highway the best, and the winner was to receive a box of gold. On the day of the contest, all of the people came. Some of them had fine chariots. Some of them had fine clothing and fancy food to make the trip a luxurious journey. Some wore their sturdiest shoes and ran along the highway on their feet to show their skill. All day they traveled the highway, and each one, when he had arrived at the end, complained to the king about a large pile of rocks and debris that had been left, almost blocking the road at one point, and that got in their way and hindered their travel. At the end of the day, a lone traveler crossed the finish line wearily and walked over to the king. He was tired and dirty, but he addressed the king with great respect and honor and handed him a small chest of gold. He said, "I stopped along the way to clear a pile of rocks and debris that was blocking the road. This chest of gold was under it. Please have it returned to its rightful owner." The king replied, "You are the rightful owner." "No, no, no," he said, it's not mine. I've never known such money." "Oh yes," said the king, "you've earned this gold, for you won the contest. He who travels the road best is he who makes the road better for all who follow." Isn't that a good story? I love that. I've been noticing, maybe you have too, in our country, that there are a lot of things being said in this time in our history, and a lot of commentary about the great gap between rich and poor. And some people seem to think that the rich are too rich. Have you heard that? Maybe you're not aware of this, but some political powers that be decided that a new Amazon facility in New York City should not go into New York City because Amazon's owner is too rich and he was getting $3 billion in taxes taken off of this deal. And so they didn't think that those facility should come because that $3 billion could be spent better. Here's what they didn't know. They didn't understand that there wasn't $3 billion being given to Amazon. There was $30 billion being given from Amazon to the city. And they got a tax break of $3 billion spread out over 10 years. So there wasn't $3 billion to put in somebody's pocket. There was $27 billion that wouldn't go into the city coffers, plus thousands of jobs. They said the average job, I think it was 15,000 jobs, does anybody remember? The average job was 150,000 a year. It was 25,000 jobs, that's what it was. 25,000 jobs, average pay, 150,000 a year for people in New York City, And somebody in the political realm said, rich people already have too much. We don't want this in our place. This attitude, this heart toward what other people do with their money is gripping part of our country, and it's making us idiots. Idiots. And I want to talk to you about it, and I want you to see what the Bible says so you'll be confident in what you know. Because when I asked the question, is it wrong to be rich? Pretty much the whole room said, no. Already you, I think, get this. The other day I was talking to a couple pastors, by the way, and this got me. So we're talking and somebody brings up some name of some pastor I don't even recognize. And then among the pastors, they're kind of discussing whether or not it was very wise for that man to buy a $150,000 car for his wife. Well, I don't know how wise it is, because I know that if I had a really fancy car, there might be some people, not you, but there might be people in the town who would say, how can he have that? He must be overpaid. And things like that. Pastors don't have money. Pastors shouldn't be rich. And that same attitude, by the way, among some Christians is the attitude among some people in the country. And I was a little taken back. I really have to admit that. It might be questionable, by the way, the wisdom of it. I remember when Dr. Paul Pano was given a Cadillac by a guy in his church, brand new Cadillac, handing the keys. And there was a bunch of kick-up back in the 70s over him driving that expensive car. And he finally decided it's not worth it. He sold it and gave the money to the church and drove an Astro van around. Class warfare seems to be on the rise, and it seems to me that perhaps we as Christians ought to be the ones to make sure we help people realize that this class warfare isn't noble. It isn't good. It isn't godly. It is ungodly. And I'm going to show you the scripture. So I did a search in the Bible. I was looking to see the word rich, and that covered riches or richest or any rich that you could find. And I was looking at different versions, and you know, one version had like 168, and one had this much, and one had that much. And I found a version that had 196. So I decided to use that version for today. 196 references where the word rich came up. That's a lot of references, by the way, and I went through all of them just to make sure what they were. So the NLT, New Living Translation, I'm just going to use it. I checked these verses against other verses and tried to make sure I had the best and most clear. And I wanted to see which ones specifically had to do with monetary wealth. So, you know, the richness of your love in the Song of Solomon didn't make the cut. But these are verses about rich. So here we are in Luke chapter 12. Start with verse 13. Then someone called from the crowd, "Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me." And Jesus replied, "Friend, who made me judge over you to decide such things as that?" And then he said, "Beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own." Was this man being greedy? Wow. Was this man being greedy? He just wanted his half. Now, you may not know this, but in that culture, that didn't always work that way. Firstborns got a double portion. Who knows, maybe he spent all his. And then when it came to the end, his father had given and given and given and given. His father decided not to give him something because he'd already given to him. We don't know the circumstances, but this man, was kind of demanding that life be fair. And that his brother be fair with him. Most of you know I don't believe in fair. Most of you know I don't believe that God is fair in the way that so many humans talk about fair. Because I'm going to tell you right now, God's better than fair. God will always be better than fair. One of my best examples of God not being fair is a woman named Mary. She was probably around 14 years old when she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And who believed it? Who believed that Mary was pregnant from the Holy Spirit? Only her betrothed husband, and only after an angel came and said, "Listen, Jack, this is my baby. And you're going to take care of it." He was like, "Cool, I'm on board." And then he believed. But for most of Mary's life, few, if any, believed. She was that woman. She was stained forever. Through her entire life, people believed that she had somehow gotten pregnant in a way that was inappropriate, in a way that either Joseph did it and he should have taken credit, so it embarrassed him too. It wasn't fair to him either. It wasn't fair, but can I tell you something? That was really good. That was really, really, really good. It was good because it was miraculous. It was good because it was God incarnate. It was good because this is the way God wanted to do it. And it was good for you and it was good for me. And by the way, speaking of fair, God wasn't even fair to himself. Is it fair that he sent his only son to die for us? There's a mentality in the country that everybody ought to be equal. But I'm going to tell you that everybody ought to be special. Everybody is supposed to be something important. Everybody has a destiny. When you stop believing in God, you stop believing in destiny, and you stop trusting God to be in charge. And it's a problem. So just let that sink in a little bit. He counseled those around this guy to beware of greed. And this guy just wanted it all to be fair. Look at verse 16. Then he told them a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. And he said to himself, "What should I do? I don't have room for all my crops." And then he said, "I know. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And then I'll have room enough to store my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, 'My friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you work for?' Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God." Some people will use this as a scripture to say, see, being rich is bad. That is not what this is saying. It's saying that if you're rich in this world's good, but you're not rich in your relationship with God, you're going to have problems. In fact, the Bible is full of rich people who had great relationships with God. How about Abraham? Do you think Abraham had a good relationship with God? Yeah, me too. It says in Genesis 3:2, even before God called him Abraham, that Abram was very rich in livestock, silver, and gold. He was a rich man. Before he even got his promise, before he even figured out what was going. And by the way, he was already rich, but God had told him to get up and go from where he was into a land called, as some people do in sermons, called there. Abraham didn't even know where he was going, but God told him to go. And he says, okay, and he loaded up everything he had, and he went. And he was like, where are we going? Just keep going that way. That's hard. Have you ever been in that position where God was telling you to go somewhere, but you didn't know where there was? Tricky stuff. I can't spend a lot of time on Abraham. I'd love to spend a lot of time on Abraham. Maybe I should do a whole series on this and then talk about Abraham's riches and how God blessed him. But he was the father of the faith. We are walking in Abraham's blessing because he was the one that God chose to start this whole thing. And then there was his son, Genesis 26, 12 through 14 says, when Isaac planted his crops that year, he harvested 100 times more grain than he planted, for the Lord blessed him. And he became a very rich man, and his wealth continued to grow, and he acquired so many flocks of sheep and goats, herds of cattle and servants, that the Philistines became jealous of him. Wow. Greed and jealousy are mentioned in the scripture about people who have less than someone else. Let that sink in a little bit too. Now let me tell you something honestly. I've lived for 48 of my 62 years as a Jesus freak, revivalist, on fire Christian. I got saved among the Jesus people, and you know my story. I grew my hair long to be a Christian, because real Christians had long hair and wore holy jeans. That's the way it was in 1971. That's what they looked like. That's what they sounded like. We beat on our guitars and we sang stuff to Jesus, and we took songs off the radio and gave them new lyrics, and we sang the Psalms and sometimes Proverbs. We sang a lot of scripture. And I'm going to tell you the honest truth. I can't remember a single time in my life where I ever thought someone had too much money and that it wasn't fair. And you'll start to see in my comments as we go why I feel that way. I've always felt that way. Let's look at another rich guy real quick. This guy named Job. Job 1 verse 3. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, 500 female donkeys. He also had many servants. He was, in fact, the richest person in that entire area. And then in Job 1:10, it says that the devil took notice. Devil talking to God. You have always put a wall of protection around him and his home and his property. You have made him prosper in everything he does. Look how rich he is. How did Job get prosperous? God helped him prosper. There goes God again, prospering some people. Well, that's not fair. Fair's not till August. Most of us know what happened to Job, by the way. And was that fair? The suffering, the testing, the things that he went through, the loss that he experienced. But he made it through it, right? You know the story of Job? He made it through it. He gets to the other end of it. And Job 42:12 says, and the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part. And he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. God doubled Job's blessing. God didn't tell him after all that testing, you know, you've really passed the test. You're amazing. Now just put on a monk's robe and live a quiet life. He didn't do that to him. By the way, do you know what 1,000 yoke of oxen is? You're thinking, yeah, well, there's these two cows and they're tied together, right? That's kind of right. It's also 1,000 jobs. There's no point in yoking oxen unless you're going to put somebody behind them to drive the oxen and use them to accomplish something. It's 1,000 jobs. 1,000 jobs. We don't think of that. Rich people create jobs, family of God. We will come back to this more a little bit later, but I just want you to let that sink in. Wealthy people create more wealth. By the way, who was the wealthiest person in history? Anybody know? Solomon. Good. Good you know your Bibles. Good, good, good. Most of us know how Solomon asked for wisdom, and God gave him wisdom, but God was so pleased that he asked for wisdom that God said, I will also give you great wealth. That's kind of cool. Here it is. 1 Kings 3:13. God said, and I will also give you what you did not ask for, riches and fame. No other king in all the world will be compared to you for the rest of your life. 1 Kings 10:23. So Solomon became richer and wiser than any other king on the earth. 2 Chronicles 1:12. I will certainly, God speaking to Solomon, I will certainly give you the wisdom and knowledge you requested, but I will also give you wealth, riches, and fame such as no other king has had before you, listen to this, or ever will have in the future. So in the scripture we see, and these are just not all the examples, that God made a number of people ridiculously rich. God made people ridiculously rich. God made people ridiculously rich. Is that okay with you? It's okay with me. 1 Samuel 2:7 says, the Lord makes some poor and others rich. He brings down, he brings some down and he lifts others up. Wow. I guess it's up to God, right? This is yes. This is yes. So are we supposed to resent the rich? I don't think so. And what if they're rich because of God? That would be really stupid to resent somebody who God put in a position of being rich. You're not very smart if you're resenting someone who God made rich. Yeah, think about that. Like, I hate that person. And God's like, I love him, I blessed him, and you hate him. Not a good idea. And if God is watching over all of our lives and all of this stuff, then maybe we just need to watch something else. While God watches over that, maybe we would just need to watch our hearts. Now, I'm going to get back to this thing that I mentioned earlier. Do you know what rich people do with their money? I know. You see them on, you know, you see stuff on TV and you see them blowing their money on ridiculous stuff sometimes. By the way, though, I don't know whether you're aware of this, that ridiculous stuff has to be made by somebody else because rich people don't have time to make it themselves. So even when they're blowing their money on, like, food, like, they buy a plate of food and it's $1,000 a plate, and you're going, pfft. Number one, I wouldn't eat that. Number two, I could make them a really good taco for $3. What's up with that? If you want to pay $1,000 a plate, come down here. Let me give you some good food. Coney dog. Whatever. People seem to think that rich people, like, you know, throw their money in piles and wallow in it, or take a bath in a, you know, a tub full of coins, or light cigars with their $100 bills. And I got to tell you, that's really not what most rich people do. There are some people who get rich really, really fast and they got no idea how to steward what they've got and they just blow it like crazy. But most of the extremely wealthy people are people who create wealth. It's what they do. They create wealth. And that's why they keep getting richer and richer, because every time they spend a dollar, it turns into two. They understand how to turn their money into something more. And it just keeps happening to them. Listen to this. This is interesting too. Do you know the name? It's in my notes, but it just popped in my head. You know the name Bill Gates, right? Founder of Microsoft. Microsoft's a very wealthy corporation. Bill Gates is an extremely wealthy man. Do you know that in the biggest country in the world that uses the most software in the world right now, China, that only 10% of the Microsoft products were sold to the country and Microsoft got paid for it? 90% of the operating systems in China are operating on illegal Microsoft operating systems, and nothing was paid for them. How rich would they be beyond what they are now if they got paid all that money? When people who generate wealth, it generates wealth that they end up paying to other people. This is the way it works. Now, I want to show you something in the scripture you may never have noticed. In 2 Chronicles chapter 9 and verse 20, it says, all King Solomon's goblets were gold, and all the household articles in the palace of the forest of Lebanon were pure gold. And nothing was made of silver, because silver was considered of little value in Solomon's day. I heard one person talking about this, and I don't know whether they pulled it from the original Hebrew, but they said silver was kind of like rocks. I couldn't find a reference to that in scripture or in a version of the Bible, but silver was just kind of like stones just laying around, because everybody wanted, you know, because gold was so plentiful. Solomon's wealth that God gave him rippled into everything in the economy of Israel. Rippled into everything. And everyone got affected, and everyone experienced increase. And this is what happens when people get rich. This is what happens. Sure, again, some waste their riches and end up poor. But some use their money wisely, they become super rich, and then their overabundance starts to go out into the creation of more abundance, and a whole lot of people are walking in abundance. How many of you think that's okay? I do. How many of you think it would have maybe been better if certain political people hadn't stuck their nose in, and instead of New York missing out on 25,000 new jobs that would have generated all sorts of other things. I haven't even touched the amount of money that it was going to generate for New York City. And I got to tell you, some people aren't using their head because they have this thing going on inside of them where they don't feel comfortable with people being more wealthy than they are. Get over it. Can you name some rich people today? Anybody know some? I named Bill Gates. Anybody think of another name?
Donald Trump?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Who else is a rich person?
Elon Musk?
Who else?
Politicians in general.
Now that's Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett. Jeff Bezos. He's the guy that owns Amazon. I think he was the richest here recently. They proclaimed him now the richest. I'm not sure who. Warren Buffett's been the richest. Bill Gates been the richest. Mark Zuckerberg, young guy. Yeah. According to the Washington Post, after adjusting for the cost of living differences, a typical American earns an income that is 10 times the income received by the typical person in the rest of the world. Are y'all typical? According to the Global Rich List, a website that brings awareness to the worldwide income disparities, 32,400 a year amounts to roughly 28,614 euros, 2.307 million Indian rupees. Talk about inflation. 218,532 Chinese yuan, yuan. So here's the thing. Why did I bring that up? Well, if you're an accountant, a registered nurse, or an elementary school teacher, congratulations. The average wage for any one of those careers is $32,400 a year. And that means you fall in the top 1% of wealth worldwide. I'm talking to a room full of rich people. Some of you are like, well, I don't quite make that. No, you might not. You might be under that 32,000 a year, which only puts you in what, you know, the top 5% or 10%. And anybody in this room, probably less than 10%. Wow. Wowzers. And some of you are sitting there going, yeah, my wife and I together, or I make, you know, I'm in the top 1% of the world. I'm on top of the world. So perhaps some of us could use some of Solomon's wisdom concerning being rich. He has much to say. This is where I get to this point in this message where I'm trying to decide what to do right now. Because I'm about halfway through, I think, but I don't know how the rest of this is going to go. Did I say there was going to be a lot of scripture? There's going to be a lot of scripture. So I think what I am going to do is I'm going to stop right here. And I'm going to pick this up next week. I have got tons of stuff from Proverbs. I have got stuff from the Psalms and New Testament and Old Testament verses. There's so much here, and I'm afraid my commentary on it is just going to be a little bit long in the tooth. So because I love you, I'm going to stop. But this is what I want you to understand, and I'm going to demonstrate this then over next week's message. I can't find anything anywhere that says God's mad at anybody for having too much money. And he's not mad at anybody for being poor. God doesn't spend a lot of time being mad about any of that stuff. But what I will tell you is we need to beware in this country. We need to beware because there are a lot of voices around us of people who are dissatisfied and disgusted and angry and saying, those people right there have to do this or that or the other. They are responsible. They've got to fix this. They've got to do this because I can't. And you know what's funny? All those people who are yelling that, most of those people who are yelling that are in the top 1% of the world for finances. Imagine that. They're in the top 1% of the world, and they can't sit by and see anybody else have any prosperity without something rising up inside of them, and they don't know that it's jealousy and greed. And I'm just going to say to you, don't let yourself get caught up in that. So if someone hears this message and they don't get to hear my next one, they have heard at least that thought that I think is very important for us, especially us as Americans who believe in a free system where people, through hard work and intelligence, can have opportunities to do things. Now, some of you are thinking, well, some of those people do, they cheat, da-da-da-da-da. I know, we're going to get to that. But for now, let me just encourage you. Keep your heart, watch your heart, be careful that you not allow some of this current political climate to suck you in and you misunderstand who God called you to be and you misunderstand that God will provide for us according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus.